The scripture text that engages us today is that which was just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you might be puzzled. 1 Corinthians 15, here 2 days before Holy Week, when we're in the thick of Lent. Well, there's a pragmatic reason for this. This is the appointed text for Easter Sunday, but our seminary on Fridays video records the sermons to be put online for pastors the next week to access and find resources for the subsequent sermon. So the text on the Friday is always for 9 days later. So this is a Easter sermon, a preview of coming attractions, glorious coming attractions. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Last year, I led a study involving lay people of the major religions of the world. And something that I try to make very clear to them is that these major religions are very different from one another, and in fact, they contradict each other in terms of their premises for the way of salvation. As a result, the common conception that all religions are true just couldn't be the fact, because they are mutually contradictory. One religion has to be true and the others false. A member of the class raised her hand and said, "Pastor, I think you've made that case very convincingly, but how do we know that our religion is the true one?" She said, "I grew up in Wisconsin, was raised a Lutheran, and because of that, I'm a Christian. But if I was born in Saudi Arabia, I would have been raised a Muslim, and that would have been my religion. So I'm a Christian because of my upbringing. How do I know that Christianity is true and Islam is not? Maybe Islam is the true religion, and mine is not. Pastor, what if my faith is in vain?" Honest expression of doubt there. In 1 Corinthians 15 here, this seems to be a significant issue. Is our faith in vain? In fact, opening this chapter, Paul seems to suspect that maybe the Corinthians have believed in vain. He writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you have been saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Believing in vain. And in these first 17 verses of chapter 15, Paul addresses this issue of believing in vain 5 times. It's a major issue. And Paul says there is, in fact, a condition under which our faith would be in vain. Verse 14, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." And verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." This is the issue. All depends on this issue of Christ's resurrection. But of course, the bold proclamation and affirmation of 1 Corinthians 15 is that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And that makes all the difference for now and for eternity. Paul goes on to emphasize that this is of prime importance, of greatest importance. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. Then he appeared to James and the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Paul's point: Jesus really died for your sins. He was really buried, and he was really raised from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. Everyone from Cephas to the 12 to the 500 who saw him in one sitting, to James, his half-brother, who had been skeptical before the resurrection, to Paul, who had been an enemy until he encountered the resurrected Christ. We saw him. It's true. He is risen. And this makes all the difference in the world. Far from our faith being in vain, for nothing, for naught, this is of prime importance, of first importance. And so what's the significance for us today? The implication of Christ's resurrection is that your faith is not futile. The implication of Christ's resurrection is that your faith in Christ is not in vain. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the vindication that Jesus is the Son of God, as he claimed, and Christianity is the true faith. Paul asserts such in Romans 1, verse 4, when he says, Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. That's God's vindication. This is most certainly true. And so the resurrection declares Jesus Christ to be the true Savior and Christianity to be the true faith. And by implication, all other religions to be false. Now think about religion. Essentially, what is religion when you boil it down? A religion offers a solution to the ultimate problems of sin and death. Oh, the various religions have different ways of describing this and defining it, maybe bad karma or whatever, but essentially, these ultimate issues of sin and death, the solution to death. And yet, isn't it significant that the founders of these religions, except for one, are all dead? It offers the solution to death, but they're all dead. You travel to Saudi Arabia, to Medina, and you can visit the tomb of Muhammad, the founder of Islam. His bones are there. You can go a little further east, into the Far East, and at various shrines, there are the relics of the Buddha, who was, at his death, cremated, but they were able to scavenge a few bones and teeth, and these are his relics that you can go and visit. He's dead. The founders of these religions are dead. And yet, people are investing and entrusting their afterlife to dead folks. Let me make a comparison here. Say you're having trouble with a course here at the seminary, and so you want to pass the course, you're failing it right now, so you're going to get a tutor for the course. Would you select someone to be your tutor who has repeatedly failed this course and never passed it? No, that'd be foolish. Or say that you're in financial trouble, so you're going to secure a financial advisor. Would the one that you select be currently in bankruptcy? Of course not. That would be foolish. Or say you are being sued, and so you secure the services of an attorney. Would you get someone who has never won a court case, lost them all? No, that would be futile. That would be in vain. And yet thousands, millions, billions of people are entrusting their afterlife to dead men. There's only one faith in a founder whose tomb is empty. And because his tomb is empty, your faith is not empty. Because he is no longer in the grave, your faith is no longer in vain. You can have confidence in him who has conquered death for you. Or as Paul says in verses 1 and 2, it is in this gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, that he was raised. It's in that gospel that you stand now and in eternity, that you stand before the judge of all history. And it is in that gospel that you are saved. Yaroslav Pelikan was a great scholar of church history, a graduate of this institution of Concordia Seminary. He became the distinguished professor of church history at Yale University. And before he died in 2006, he wrote these words: "If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, then nothing else matters." Listen to that again. If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. But if Christ is not risen, then nothing else matters. Indeed, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith and everything is in vain. Doesn't matter. But as Paul here affirms, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's your hope, his resurrection. This, Paul says, is of first importance. And compared to this which is of first importance, nothing else matters. That, my friends, is why your faith is not in vain.